the Fun of the Fair by Bev Conway.
Welcome to the future. Here it is, all yours. Step right up. That's it, sir. Mind the step, madam. Right this way to experience the trip of a lifetime. Yes, madam, I know it says police public call box, but that's just by way of a little subterfuge, a bit of disguise. We don't want to upset those future people now, do we? That's right, sir. Plenty of room inside. You'd almost think it was bigger on the inside now, wouldn't you? Ha ha. Thank you very kind indeed, sir. Much obliged. A small price to pay for a glimpse of the future, wouldn't you say? There we go. Now, if you'd be so kind as to make sure the door is shut behind you, then just wait a few minutes, open it up, and you'll get out in the future. Yes, madam, I'm sure you will be very surprised indeed. No, sir, I've not had a single person come back to complain. Not a single person. Have a safe trip.
It was the sweetest little number I'd had for a long time. No effort except a bit of chat on my part. It really was the best one yet, I tell you. The box groaned and wheezed like a thing in torment. It always did that. I wish it wouldn't. The other stallholders stared and complained it put off their customers. I always replied that it was to attract customers. You have to keep up a front with these stallholders. Mind you, I had a sticky moment the other day when a real police constable came up for a look.
Good morning, sir,
he said to me, all stiff and wondering what you've been up to, like they do.
Good morning to you, Sergeant,
I replied, all jolly showman sort of thing. It never hurts to pass a compliment, I always reckon. Talk a private up to a corporal.
Police constable, sir,
he said, looking at me sternly.
And what do we have here?
He was acting all surprised, as if he couldn't see what we had here, even though it was right there in front of his face, all big and blue and boxy. He must have seen plenty of police boxes in his time.
Just my little amusements,
I said to him, hoping he wasn't going to be one of the more persistent ones.
It's not real. For the ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure of the general public. Just a little trick. No harm in it.
He didn't say anything, like he was seriously thinking about what I'd said. I knew it was just a waiting game, a battle of nerves. He was waiting for me to keep gabbling until I told him the truth about my mysterious box.
Looks very much like a police public call box to me, Mr...
Smith. John Smith.
I supplied happily. I even had a piece of paper to prove it. I showed it to him.
Mr Smith.
He weighed even this piece of information like evidence against me, tucking it away in his little policeman's brain for later. I was starting to feel a little shifty by now. Time to sort this nosy copper out.
Trips to the future. Wouldn't you like to see what the future might hold in store for you?
I asked him pleasantly. He gave me the old hard stare, like he knew exactly what it was going to hold for me if he had his way.
Exactly where do the general public come out when they see the future?
He demanded.
Oh, trade secret officer,
I said, tapping my nose knowingly.
Constable, sir. Just an honest constable, I think I said.
Matter of time, constable, matter of time with a man of your perceptions. Why not take a look inside? It all becomes wonderfully clear once you get inside. There you go, constable. In there, and make sure you shut the door properly before you come out again. Yes, it does seem much bigger, doesn't it? It's all done with mirrors, of course. Goodbye, constable.
The wheezing noises started again, and of course... That was the last of PC Nosy Parker. No profit in that sort of lot, though. Paying customers only, if possible. Good that the fair's moving on soon, I thought. Didn't know how I was going to get this great box shifted, though. Have to hire some men and a carter. Still, I had plenty of money to pay for that. For a moment, I wondered where all the people did go. Just for a moment, mind. Then I tapped my bulging pockets with satisfaction and walked away with a cheery tune on my lips. The next day dawned bright and clear. A good day for a quick profit, I thought. I happily passed the early hours thinking how I might change the show a little bit. Maybe put up some different signs. Trips to the past, maybe. And see the world long ago. Or trips to the moon. See the moon close up. After all, I could put anything. Nobody's going to come back and say I'm a liar, are they? Why did I put see the future in the first place? It was that funny cove who said it could go there. Dressed like a gentleman he was, but strike a light, the lady with him. She was no lady, common as muck. And the language. She didn't mind what she said to anyone, that's for sure. And she called him doctor. He was a doctor. At least I suppose that's what he told her. He could have been a doctor, though. Looked pretty brainy in that. Not brainy enough not to get stuck inside his machine, though. He went in and shut the door, and he didn't come out again. She was hopping mad at getting left behind. She was shouting all sorts at the closed door, asking him why he couldn't mend the controls properly. She called him a stupid ponce from Galley Free. Sounds like he was probably Irish. He did look a bit Irish, now I think about it. Bit wild-looking, long hair, blue eyes. Must have been clever to have invented the box, though. I was just thinking it would be better to paint over the police public call box bit before I set up the next place, when I heard a voice behind me.
Mr. Smith?
I jumped. Must stop daydreaming, I thought.
Yes, yes, indeed,
I said, turning to size up the young man who had spoken. He was quite keen-looking, quite sharp. Not a gentleman, I'd have said, but not one of your working-class types. Maybe one of those university sorts.
Can I help you, young gentleman?
He didn't rise to my bait by trying to act particularly gentlemanly, though.
This is your magic box, Mr. Smith.
Indeed it is, sir. Would you care to step inside and take a look? I'm not properly set up yet, but I'm sure I can squeeze you in.
I'm sure you could, Mr. Smith,
he said somewhat dryly.
But that would be very foolhardy of me, knowing what I know.
And what would that be, sir?
I could smell trouble brewing. I decided to get him into the box as soon as I could.
Several people have gone missing, Mr. Smith, after visiting this fair.
Really? Well, they could have gone anywhere.
And yesterday, my associate police constable Herbert Arthur Jones failed to return from a routine investigation concerning these very same disappearances.
Curses! It was a policeman too! That blue box was jinxed! Once I got rid of this man, I was definitely going to paint it silver and call it a public convenience instead. I had to think quickly. They always got in the box in the end. Couldn't help themselves. They always thought they could spot the trick if they had a good look at it.
This is foolishness, officer.
Miller. Detective Miller of the Northwest Specials. Long way from home for you, then. Getting some experience down in the smoke, eh?
If you want, just take a look inside. You can see there's nothing wrong. You can ask anybody you like. I didn't leave here all day yesterday.
Yes, sir, I already did. Your fellow stallholders agree you never left the site, but that neither did your customers. Bad for business, they suggested.
This was getting very nasty indeed. I had to get him in that box.
Well, that's the trick of it, Detective Miller. I'm sure a clever chap like you would be able to see how it's done.
I gestured for him to look inside the blue box.
Possibly,
he agreed, stepping forward. I had him.
If you would just open the door for me, sir.
He was still suspicious.
Yes, of course. Here we are.
The door creaked as it opened. Inside, the box seemed to stretch away to an enormous size.
You see? It's a trick. It could not possibly be this big inside that little blue box. It's an illusion.
But this is very real.
In a trice, Miller grabbed my wrist and encased it in one of the police force's foul steel handcuffs. I struggled, but Detective Miller was strong and wiry.
Don't worry, Mr. Smith,
he said.
I'm still going to take a look inside your magic blue box. But you're coming with me. Lucy,
he called.
You wait here in case something goes wrong.
Hold on a minute, Sonny Jim. You don't think you're going in the TARDIS without me, do you? No chance.
It was the voice of that common girl who'd been with the doctor. Curses again! Trapped by a girl and a policeman! The girl pushed me in from behind and Constable Miller pulled me into the box by my handcuffed wrist. The door slammed shut behind us and the unearthly wheezing and shuddering began. I shut my eyes. When it finally stopped, the girl, Lucy, ran to the door.
No!
Miller and I shouted, fearing what might happen.
Oh, shut up, you pair of wet blankets,
she said, and opened the door to the future. Outside was a world of such fascination and wonder that I have been forbidden to speak of it, but it has set my mind spinning, I can tell you. And there, outside the blue box, were all the people that I had sent to the future. They weren't very happy with me, and the doctor who had invented the box was there too. He let the people shout at me for some time, then he said he wanted peace and quiet and told the people that if it wasn't for me and my stupidity, he might have been stuck in the future forever. Much worse would have happened if somebody clever had taken his wonderful time machine, he said. And I felt a bit abashed, but couldn't really do anything. Especially as Detective Miller still had me handcuffed to his wrist. "And who is this?" asked the doctor, looking at the detective. Lucy explained that he was a long-dead relation of hers from the past, which didn't make any sense, and that she had known he would be brainy enough to help her, seeing as he was a relation.
"You must be a very perceptive young man," the doctor said to Miller.
"Lucy was very persuasive," Miller explained.
"I'll bet she was," the doctor muttered.
"Oi!" Lucy said.
"And this TARDIS is everything she said it was," Miller said, looking around.
"Told you," Lucy said.
"And the doctor is just like you said," Miller said.
"Told you," Lucy said, rather smugly.
"And you are in a lot of trouble," the doctor said to me.
"Told you," Miller said.
"I suggest," said the doctor, as he began herding the people back into the box, "mostly because nobody would believe you anyway, that you all keep this all to yourselves. You've all had a fine time in the future, and I would suggest that you,"
he turned to me,
"keep out of trouble. No more scams and schemes. Detective Miller will be keeping a close eye."
"All right, Doctor," I agreed. I had no choice.
"Everybody gets to go home. Apart..."
And he looked a bit sad.
"Apart from me and Lucy, that is."
Well, we all got home safely. I even got myself a proper job. Detective Miller drops by occasionally to keep an eye on me, he says. But sometimes we have a drink and chat. We can't really talk to anyone else about it, can we? We got quite friendly over time, me and Freddy. He wants me to be godfather to his little boy. Help keep him on the straight and narrow, Freddy says. So I suppose everything did turn out fine in the end. It always does, though, really. Doesn't it?